Here at Martin Molloy, that's Eurythmics. And, you know, Mickey, there was an article a couple of months back, I think, in The Australian by Philip Adams. You know him?
Mm.
Bit of a beardo.
Yep.
Bemoaning the lack of quality political satire in Australia. Mm. And when I'm sitting there listening to you pull Laurie Oakes' finger, I'm thinking, in your face, Philip Adams!
He's looking like a big gook now. It's top shelf. It's top shelf.
And Price Dix is coming up in the next hour. What was that all about yesterday?
More political satire.
Oh, it was too satirical yesterday.
Highly satirical.
Yeah, Jane Kennedy was responsible for choosing the winner.
Mm.
And there was a bit of finger pulling action, if I remember. Also, Iwo Takamoto is with us. You may not know him by name, but you've all seen his work, The Flintstones, The Jets and Scooby-Doo.
Mm.
That was him. All of them, Huckleberry Hound, Yogi Bear, that was him.
He's a genius.
He's coming in to talk to us, veteran animator Iwo Takamoto, and of course he's on tour with this fantastic display of Hanna-Barbera art. And it's coming to a Silver K gallery near you if you're interested in that kind of gear. We'll have all the details in the next hour. And Radio Gladiators is coming up. And, of course, we've been talking about Mal Colston. Everyone, I think it's on every paper in the country today, this fantastic photo of Mal and the missus in first class on the plane heading to Canberra. Isn't that a fantastic photo?
Tone. Hell hath no fury like a big fat senator scorned.
Oh, I know.
That's all I can say.
Revenge. Isn't it good to know he's thinking of the people who elected him?
I know.
There'll be people listening to the show right now who voted for Mal Colston.
Mm-hmm.
Labor voters, if I remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Last year, and haven't they seen their votes spent wisely?
Yeah.
What's he doing now? Just standing in the Senate with a gun going, don't come near me, don't come near me, I'll go you, I'll vote for anybody, I'll vote for him. He's thinking of the people.
He's
a man of the people.
Yeah.
He hasn't forgotten
That's
how he got
That's what Harry
there.
M. Miller told him when he rang up looking to get on the books.
Give back the flags and get out of politics was Harry's advice, if I remember. But this photo, how did they get it? It's a fantastic bit of work. And, you know, I'm looking at that, and I don't want to be rude, but I can see why Mal has to go first class. You wouldn't get Mal in one of them little economy seats up the back of the plane.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, no. I remember, and I don't mean this as an insult to anybody, this is just pure fact. I was on a plane once with the late Ricky May, and they had to take the middle arm out of the seat so he could sit in two chairs. I'm not joking.
Right.
I'm not making fun.
Wow.
But that's the kind of thing. That's a serious bizzo.
And did he get to use two sets of headphones?
I don't know. He got two little complimentary peanuts.
Wow.
But that's absolutely true. Of course, it's the opposite when I get on a plane.
Mm.
I remember, I think on one flight from Melbourne to Sydney, I had to actually share a seat with Steve Monteghetti. So it's a two-way street for the skinny bastard on a plane. And what else is going on, Mick?
Hey, here's something you might not have seen. Mother Teresa's going to visit the Pope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Vatican will be the first stop for Mother Teresa during a visit to Europe and the United States.
Wow.
She's keen to meet the Pope, but no date has been finalised so far, a spokeswoman said. Is that a date? is that a date with the Pope?
Oh, I don't know.
Watch out, Mother Teresa. He's all hands! He's all hands. You know, someone should film that date with a bit of a camera and cut it together in a montage. Now we've got him there running through sprinklers, and you cut to them eating a bit of an ice cream together. Now they're fogging up the windows of a rockin' Pope. Now they're tandem water skiing off the back of a boat. Oh, that'd be great fun, wouldn't it? Oh, geez.
Squirting each other with mustard.
That's always a good one. That'd be a fun day, wouldn't it? I'm just thinking, here's my own advice to you.
Mm.
Don't get in the Pope mobile.
No.
If he asks Mother Teresa. In fact, didn't the cops pull a Pope over recently in the Pope mobile because they thought he was with a tranny?
Oh, I don't know.
No, hang on, that's right. They thought he was a tranny.
This is Martin Molloy.
You're listening to Martin Molloy, thanks to Coca-Cola. And just a reminder once again, it's our Mother's Day spectacular this Friday. Messages. We're going to call up your mum if we get to it, because we won't get to all of them. Have to keep saying that. And we'll call her up, and if it's funny enough, we'll put the bit to air. That's good.
So fax us and leave us the number where you...
We won't put the first 90 seconds to air. Who? Who are you?
What?
We won't put that to air. Just the good bit on Friday. So call us with your Mother's Day message for your own mum. 1-800, are you ready? When I say call, I mean fax. We're getting the hang of this program. It's year three. We're getting the hang of it. Fax us on 1-800-816-679. And now it's...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
There was good news and bad news for Mal Colston today.
Mm.
The bad news, he's had to resign from position of Deputy President of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The good news, it's International No Diet Day! Yes!
Are people aware of this?
I think so. I mean, every time you... I think every single current affairs show in this nation at the moment is doing something about dieting.
Oh, look, it's International No Diet Day, which must be... shooting Fashion Week in the foot. That's bad news for them.
They can't run concurrently.
No, they just don't go together. And, yes, this means that if you're on a diet, have the day off.
Mm.
Eat something, for God's sake.
Go to town.
Eat something. Because there is a feeling that perhaps people are going a bit far with the diets.
Yeah, there
is. Not everybody. I know I'm accused of going too far. And people often ask me how I maintain my alarmingly svelte figure.
Mm.
I'm almost up to 10 stone, I'll have you know, Mickey. That's quite an achievement. Ants in the pants. That's the way to do it.
Is it?
Literally, ants in the pants.
Good stuff.
I've got a 3-tiered ant farm in me underdubs,
right.
And it's been working for me for years. But that's what we're talking about today, miracle weight loss techniques. Do you have any? Because, I mean, diet day is going to be over.
Sure.
Or no diet day is going to be over tomorrow, and then it's going to be back into the dieting. What are you going to do, Mick Malloy?
Well, you know my favourite food, or one of them, you know, as you know this because I love my Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Is a chicken. Right, but you know what I do now?
What do you
to wean myself off the chicken? Every time I'm sitting down in front of a plate of chicken breasts, I imagine they once belonged to Tory Spelling. And I swear to God, you can't touch them.
Oh, jeez.
You cannot touch them,
I think that's a bit extreme.
Have I gone too far?
Yeah, I think so. A simple aerobic workout is a good way to lose weight. And what I do is I just borrow a Channel 10 camera and then set foot on a Colston family property. It's a fantastic bit of aerobic work.
It's a beauty.
You find yourself being slapped around by Benny from LA Law for half an hour. Yep. And watch those kilos drop away.
Here's another one I do.
Yeah.
You know what I do? I watch Oprah,
yeah.
And when she puts on weight, I put on weight. When she takes off weight, I take off weight.
Fantastic.
I take all my cues from Oprah, and her weight goes up and down like a yo-yo T. Martin. So you can be watching it, and you go, bloody hell, she's ballooned out. I race down the road to get a bucket of Kentucky. Right? If I look at her, she's losing weight, I won't eat for a week.
So you're the Australian mirror sight of Oprah Winfrey.
Got it in one.
That's
chumbly
fantastic.
Bum.
And, of course, making food hard to get at.
Mm.
That's a simple way of losing weight. And what I do is the only food I eat on a day-to-day basis is that I can catch in my mouth as I walk behind Pauline Hanson as she arrives for a One Nation rally.
That's a beauty.
Look at the footage. You'll see me just jumping up, going for tomatoes. There's an egg. There's protein. There's my carbs for the day.
And I think you'll find, Tane, it's me throwing it. I buy heaps of groceries, but do not eat a single bit. It's all got Pauline's name on it.
It's a fantastic bit of cooperation between me and Mick. Now, have you got any others? Any others you want to get out of your system, Mickey?
Oh, no. I think I'm pretty much done as well. Well, you know what I make sure, I love meat.
Yes.
I try to get off meat, but I can't.
Right.
So instead, I just make sure it's delivered by a big fat bloke in an unrefrigerated truck who hurls a handful or two over my fence like he's doing a paper route.
Is he getting much work on the One Nation tour? There's a yes for that bloke.
Let's bring in the big guns.
Bring in the meat handling man. Now, I think
one of those old Roman catapults. We'll set him up across the street.
I think he was there at Geelong last night. Now, I think we've got to take this seriously. We're looking not for made-up silly ones, but real miracle weight loss techniques, ones that you've invented yourself or heard about or are using. We're looking for the unusual. We're looking for the quirky. Sansia, have you heard of any of this? What's some...
You said unusual and quirky and thrown to Sansia.
Sorry.
It wasn't intentional. But give us some chick diets that perhaps me and Mick don't know about.
I think there was the Israeli army food diet. I think what you had to eat was the single food, like... You could have as much chicken as you liked, but you had to eat it all for a week. That was all you were allowed to eat.
Eventually, the UN had to step in.
Mm.
There was a summit in Israel to finally put that diet to bed once and for all.
That was it.
Netanyahu had a lot to say about it.
Oh, yeah.
The Israeli army diet. Yeah, you hear about that, don't you?
That's a beauty.
Any others? Have you seen people around the station?
Vinegar was another one. There was some ad in Women's Day or something, and that it said 200 uses for vinegar, and one of them was that if you drank it, it would speed up your metabolism and you just lose all this weight. It just makes you throw up. Not right. that I try.
So if in future my dim sims are floating around in a big pool of vinegar, that's going to be cool. That'll be doing me good sense.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Gee, what, just drinking vinegar, losing weight?
Yeah, apparently.
You're going to be up on the roof waiting for the Hale-Bopp Comet after a few jugs of vinegar. That doesn't sound right. Gracie, our producer, do you have a miracle weight loss technique?
Well, I have a dietary system where I base my entire diet on colour.
Oh, really?
So if you get enough green, you get enough red, you get enough, stay away from beige, it usually means fried.
Yeah.
And I judge my quality of life on the number of times a week I use utensils. But go for the colour option and you too could have a 52K figure like mine.
He's still heavier than me, though. And he gets the Dulux colour chart out of the morning, decides what he's going to have. It's like a picture menu for Gracie.
Good on you, Gracie.
That's just stupid. That's not helpful at all. We're looking for miracle weight loss techniques, and do we have a prize? Yes. It's the Mal Colston theme, formerly the Boris Yeltsin theme. You will win a Sanyo family size automatic bread maker for 10 bread settings and the pasta dough setting. Make use of it tonight while it's no diet day. And we'll throw in that Sanyo Tabura totally hands-free cordless phone, ideal for ordering pizzas on. Call us now with your miracle weight loss technique, a real one, please. 1-800-656-657. I'm turning into Gwawi Westerfan.
Hey, forget about it.
Forget about it. Taking the dirt bath. 1-800-657-657. Martin Malloy, it's International No Dieting Day. You're not allowed to diet today or cops come round and rough you up. Is that how it works?
Absolutely.
But tomorrow it'll be back to dieting fever for diet-crazed Australians everywhere. Here at Radio Gladiators, we're canvassing miracle weight loss techniques that you're employing there at home. Who have we got, Mickey?
Let's try David. Are you there, buddy?
Yes, I am.
That's the way. Tell us, what's the key? What's your canny plan when it comes to dieting?
Well, I've got the good old Aussie diet.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you eat as much as you can, and before you hop on the scales, you set them back, and once you've hopped on, you've lost a lot of weight.
Oh, yeah.
Fiddling the scales.
What are you up to? You know you're only fooling yourself, don't you, David?
Oh, you're not really.
That's kind of like what the Americans are doing, though. And you notice this when you go to the States for the first time. Mm. They've upped the sizes on all their pants.
Yeah.
You go into the Gap and have a look at a small men's shirt. Mm. You could stage a circus in it. And that's just making people feel thinner. Okay, thanks, David. Libby is going next. Libby, what's your technique?
I really don't know what caused it, but I started working full-time at a pub a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When I started there, actually, I was 96 kilos.
Right.
And when I finished, I was down to 74.
Gee, just by working in a pub?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the scotch, the beer, or the cashews that used to make me lose weight, but that was my main diet during the day.
Have you ever thought of this as a technique, Mickey?
Mate, I've been investigating that very same diet for something like 12 years, non-stop.
And it's not working for you?
Not as yet, but I'm hoping to make a breakthrough any day.
Okay. Well, maybe it's the cashews at 10 o'clock in the morning for breakfast that starts.
Oh, yeah, cashews for breakfast.
Yeah, and then leave it until after lunch for the alcohol.
All right.
I'm writing this down, Libby.
Okay. That's on our next fact sheet. Thanks, Libby. Stuart is next. Have you got a diet, Stuart?
Yeah, you got to leave home.
Just leave home! That's a pretty good one. Before, it's three-course meals, and afterwards, it's where's that Pizza Hut leaflet? Where is it? Have you just left home, Stuart?
Yep.
And what are you eating these days?
Me? I actually work for a pizza joint.
Oh, right. So you don't even have to think about it.
No.
When I left hometown, I spent the first 3 months living off the land. I'd walk out my front gate, and the garden was it. That was my bounty. I was climbing trees. I was getting around my suburb in a little loincloth and bow and arrow, hunting my quarry.
Just fossicking for berries.
That's it.
All right, leaving home. Simple and effective. Poppy is going next. Poppy, have you got a miracle weight loss technique?
I certainly have.
Yep.
Like the night before you're going on the diet, you put the percolator on and you set the coffee really strong. Yep. When you get up in the morning, it's nice and thick. You pour it all over your cornflakes and that sets you off for the rest of the day. You forget to eat, you forget to do most things, but, you know, it works.
You put the coffee on the cornflakes and then you forget to eat.
Yeah, I forgot how to chew.
It sounds effective. Are you a hyperactive nutbag for the rest of the day, though, Poppy?
Yeah.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
I'm just calling Radio Gladiators all day long.
Oh, I'm going to win. I'm going to win this concert. I'm going to win the bread maker. I don't need it, but I'm going to win it anyway.
Or I'm going to play the Rack 3. Okay, thanks very much, Poppy. Have we got Lisa on the line? You there, Lisa?
Yeah, I am. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Feeling svelte, trim and cultish?
Oh, definitely.
What have you been doing?
I watch late night TV. Now, have you seen this telecafe ad with the guy with the glasses?
Oh, yes.
Mate, I have got that on video recorder, and every time I get hungry, I put it in, I press play, and I tell you what, it just turns you off food for a month.
Telecafe.
Oh, yes.
It's just chat. Remember that, it's just chat.
It works, it works. I was 120 kilos 6 months ago. I've been playing this for a week, mate.
And you're probably now you're probably getting more dates as a result. See, the telecafe is working.
Wow, well, that's a fantastic tool to choose from in that department if you're watching late-night TV. Pardon me. Have we got Leon on the line? You there, Leon?
Yes, hi.
Hi, what's your miracle technique?
I actually put raw jelly crystals on toast and use it as a laxative.
Do you? Really? Do you sing the aeroplane jelly song while you're doing it?
Oh, no, I wouldn't stoop that low.
Right.
But the blueberry really work well.
Have you
if
tried?
You ever put raw jelly crystals in your stomach, yeah, you'll know it.
I think we might go to a break and try it and come back and tell listeners what happened.
I've danced naked in a big vat of jelly. Does that count?
How does it work, Leon? Do all the crystals sort of expand in your stomach?
I think so, and they because they're heavy, they obviously want to go down, not up.
Right, okay. Mm. Well, I think that's someone thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
It's a miracle technique nonetheless. Mm. I think we've got time for one more, and it's going to be Linda. Are you there, Linda?
Yeah, my technique is to hang around people that are fatter than you.
Oh, simple as that! So you feel thinner.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And when are you joining the Senate, Linda? Hello.
Hello.
There you are. You're still with us.
It's our 1,000th. Okay, and do you? How often do you put that to work, Linda?
Well, every weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do you go?
Well, I go into Surfers with my fat friends.
Oh, okay, so you actually have made the acquaintance of fat people.
Yeah.
Just to feel thinner.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know if that's a miracle technique. Is that a miracle technique?
It's not our winner.
What about Leon with the jelly crystals, or Lisa with the telecafe, or Poppy with the coffee on the cornflakes, or Stuart with leaving home, or Libby with the pub, or David with the scales?
Let's go for Stuart leaving home. I like it. Sound advice.
Simple and effective. Watch those unsightly kilos just drop away. Say goodbye to Mum's cooking. Are you there, Stu?
Yeah, I am.
And you've got a bread maker.
Oh, yes.
Now you'll be able to cook up something.
Oh, finally, yeah.
Will you have to go back home to get Mum to show you how it works?
Probably.
Okay, it's courtesy of Sanyo, and you can call her on the Tabura totally hands-free cordless phone.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for taking part, everyone who had a diet. And remember, we're back to dieting tomorrow, Australia, and we'll be back in... It's hour two. Our guest is ready to go. This bloke, in 1940, he started working as a so-called clean-up artist in the animation department at Walt Disney Studios. By the 1960s, he was calling the shots at Hanna-Barbera, where he was responsible for such classics as The Flintstones, The Jetsons, Scooby-Doo and Johnny Quest. These days, at age 72, he's still on the go and is out here to present the largest exhibition of Hanna-Barbera art ever seen in Australia, which is visiting all capital cities thanks to the team at Silver K Gallery. We'll give you the details later, but first let's meet the man, Iwo Takamoto. Iwo, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
How are we going with your name?
You're fine with it.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, it's not pronounced that way by the Japanese, but the industry knows me by Iwo. So.
Right. Okay. It's a much simpler name than McGilligorilla or Squiddly Diddly in my book.
That's right.
Now, you're the creative director of Hanna-Barbera.
Well, at least the visual things that come out of that studio, yes.
That's a great title to have. That must open doors. That must impress the ladies, I'm guessing.
No, that isn't as good as... I was talking to Sonia from the Silver K Gallery that's been escorting me around, and she said she had an uncle that suddenly got creative impulses and would get up anywhere and say, I've got an idea and I've got to put it down.
Right.
And so... that's a better gimmick than creative director.
Oh, really?
Just, I have an idea. That impresses the ladies like crazy.
All right, any idea at all? Okay. We do a segment called Prize Dicks. That's not impressing my wife, I can tell you that much. And, Ewa, how long have you been coming up with ideas? How long have you been going the doodle?
With Hanna-Barbera, it's been over 35 years.
But it goes back even further than that, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, with Disney Studios. But that was mostly, the first half of that was like going to school. You know, they had these terrific animators that were already established there, great teachers. You know, you'd ask them a question and they would spend an hour just explaining some small point to you with sketches and everything else.
Yeah, it's four fingers. It's not five fingers. Points like that.
Well, I gave up on that because there were certain attitudes that you couldn't affect with just three fingers.
Gotcha.
And when you say there was an animator teaching you or training you up, I mean, what kind of things basically are they saying to you? Are they looking at you and going, mate, Donald Duck does not have pants? I mean, you know, what are they doing?
Yeah, and why, and explaining it. Yeah, it's something that happened, you know, in childhood. It's a craft, and you learn it in the same fashion that you would learn any craft by. Mm. You get the simple jobs to do all the, you know.
Mm. Have you ever invented a convention of animation? I mean, a great one is where a bloke runs off a cliff, takes him a good 5 seconds to realise he's going to fall, and then down he goes. I'm thinking of your Wile E. Coyote style. Have you ever come up with, say, a device or a convention that you can stamp as your own?
Not really. I think very few animators can do that. Mm. It's something that that just comes along with, it can come out of a writer who gives you the opportunity to have to develop something like that just to complete the situation or the gag or whatever. Mm.
Do you know who was responsible for the first cartoon character to whose legs would go up the clappers before he's even taken off? And then, you know, his legs are going full stretch and then all of a sudden, about 5 seconds later, he just gets pinged off.
I don't know who started it. I have no idea who started it. I know that... are you aware of the little red... I can't remember the name of the girl, but it was Tex Avery, who I'm sure that you might be familiar with.
Oh, was that the cartoon that was Jessica Rabbit was based on?
Could be, yeah.
The real sort of sexy...
But it was the one character I remember is the wolf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was this very sexy female whose job was to just sort of swish around.
It was Red Hot Riding Hood.
That's
I think
what
so.
A memory.
He's got them all at home on tape.
That was a cartoon that needed the cleanup artist to come in, if I remember.
Absolutely, that's right. Because Tex had a lot of fun with the reaction of the wolf, which in those days, the term wolf, as you might remember, had to do with somebody that was just, you know, constantly chasing women.
That's right, yeah.
And so he displayed all the things that could be related to some other part of the anatomy. It's just a tongue coming out, and, you know.
Like The Mask, when that happened, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of the filmmakers on films like The Mask were probably influenced to some degree by some of the things that the cartoonists used to do. And
I love, there's so many inventive ways to make a character appear to be killed and then come back together, falling through the power lines, I mean, sliced up like cheese, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Are you always looking for new challenges to bend and muck around?
Not anymore. I think we're under control. They've sort of limited that type of cartoon. In fact, I feel a little bit of a great deal of sympathy, as a matter of fact, for the younger animators who have faced certain inhibitions and limitations in what they can use because of political correctness.
So they blame you guys. Do they look at you and go, well, thank you very much. If you hadn't gone too far
back in the 70s,
you might still be able to get away with that.
Yeah, that's true, but... No, but not me.
Well, we want to talk about all the things you could do and some of your greatest works. Can you stick around for us?
Sure.
The end of the mandolin bit. That's R.E.M. with Losing My Religion here at
Martin Molloy.
And Ewo Takamoto is with us. He's the man responsible for so many of our favourite cartoons at the Hanna-Barbera Studios. I know people talk about your most famous stuff like the Jetsons and the Flintstones. I remember the Wacky Races. We're big fans of the Wacky Races. Did you have a lot to do with that?
Well, I and a number of other designers, because there were so many characters, and we wanted to do a week-to-week sort of a race where we were able to do the type of things, you know, just the gags of the nasty guy. What was his name? Dick Dastardly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were always trying to win the race by doing that, you know, improper things, I guess you could say.
And the great thing about that cartoon was that you never really knew who was going to win. And I think it introduced a lot of very young kiddies to the idea of betting on a race. Yeah. I know we used to go, it's going to be the Ogg brothers.
Oh, you did that anyway?
It could be Penelope Pitstop, odds 4-5.
We were going to do something similar to that on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we're strongly discouraged.
Is that right? Yeah.
Hey, let's talk Penelope Pitstop just for a minute, if we can. What a babe. I'm a young kid, and I'm watching that, and Penelope Pitstop was everything to me. And there seems to be a rich tradition in animation in really teasing the young lads with some spicy young ladies. And I'm going back to Betty from the Flintstones. Uh-huh. You got your Penelope Pitstops, and then to the one you mentioned more recently, Jessica Rabbit. Uh-huh. What's going on there? Are the animators just enjoying it themselves a bit, or is that for the market?
Yeah, a certain percentage. In fact, I think most of them, being males themselves, you know, anyway. Because animators at one time were just about all men. And and so I think you're right. They enjoyed drawing.
If you're sitting there drawing 7,000 pictures, it might as well be
some sheer boredom. It'll lead you to doing something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. Now, tell us about Johnny Quest, which was on, I think, a little bit before my time, but it was that kind of an influence on Indiana Jones, that Johnny Quest?
I've been told that it was. But there were other influences at the same time, because there was a Milton Caniff strip called Terry and the Pirates that had something to do with that. And it was really that idea of a young, sort of a naive a young person, whether he be 16 or 9 or whatever, being able to be involved in these very exotic adventures, which included the type of ladies that you're talking about.
Excellent.
Yeah. What was the name of the one in and Terry and the Pirates? It was
Terry.
No, it wasn't. No, Terry.
It wasn't Terry Hatcher and the Pirates. You're thinking of something else. But you've updated this Johnny Quest. How was that, going back to something you've done maybe 30 years ago and kind of bringing it into the 90s?
Well, we tried to see whether we could contemporize it, in quotes. And actually, it wasn't quite as successful as we would have liked to have seen. I think there were too many liberties taken with what constituted the bottom line of the first time around.
Right. Yeah, you can't muck around with some of these old ones.
No, you really can't.
I'd hate to see someone bring back Help, It's the Hair Bear Bunch, and completely ruin that for a new generation.
Well, how about if we gave you a female bear that
yeah, and BMW? Gee, you've worked out where our program's coming from. And what are you looking for to doing? You're popping down the office and coming up with new ideas still?
Not as much as trying to uphold the integrity of the classic characters.
Right, what's it like?
Which is an example of that are the cells that that are being displayed over at the Silver K Galleries. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I'm here.
I'm going to get round to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was waiting and waiting, and you guys would have...
Yeah, they're asking me about Penelope Pitstop. I've got a boot full of cells in the car. I've got to move. Let's get down to it.
And what is it like going into essentially an art gallery and seeing so many of your characters hanging up? Did you ever imagine that they would be presented?
No, I really didn't. I really didn't. The strongest image I have of that, we used to be located, Hanna-Barbera I'm talking about, in the back of the studio. There used to be these big trash containers, and at the end of each week, all the cells that we had finished photographing used to be dumped.
Right.
And all the kids from the neighborhood would come streaming down the hill. Yeah, and digging in, you know. And now I think the majority of them are huge entrepreneurs, started businesses with us. But we had no idea.
Well, anyway, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was a pleasure, you know, talking to you. It's been fun.
Hadigan's here at Martin Malloy. Thanks to Iwo Takamoto for dropping by, talking cartoons with us. And you might want to know where that tour is happening, where the exhibitions are on. Well, they're at Silver K Galleries. Let's have the music and we'll go through the dates. There's quite a few. The exhibition's happening in Melbourne at the moment at the Silver K Gallery in Armidale. It's on till the 25th. You've missed Iwo. He was there on the weekend. What about Perth listeners? Well, the Silver K Gallery is in Murray Street and Iwo is there tonight from 7 till 10. The exhibition goes till the 25th. What about people in Adelaide? Well, it's running from the 10th till the 24th. Iwo is there this Sunday from 2 till 5. I think we're going to need the music again, Gracie. Because I haven't got to, yes, Brisbane! Yes, what about Upper Mount Gravatt? That's where you'll find the Silver K Gallery. The exhibition's going from the 12th till the 31st. Iwo's there on Tuesday, the 13th. And finally, Parramatta, New South Wales. The exhibition runs from the 15th till the 1st of June. Iwo's there on the 17th, Saturday the 17th, from 1 till 4. Woof, time for my lie down.
You can't have a lie down.
Gee, they've got him working, haven't they?
They have indeed. He's everywhere.
Sign and stuff, pointing at Huckleberry Hound, going on about Marilla Gilla Gorilla. He's got a heavy schedule, but so have we, because
it's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've been pantsed by your own 3-year-old at the supermarket. Perhaps you've been sprung singing along to Total Eclipse of the Heart at the traffic lights. Or maybe you've just been busted giving a transsexual prostitute a lift home, if you know what I mean. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. The Lost World is the new movie. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
Can do, Pete. I'm just looking for prize dicks in the paper, Mick.
Yes.
I have to hand it to Pauline Hanson's minder, David Hetheridge. Or Etheridge.
As David Etheridge.
David Etheridge. I don't know.
Somebody bring me some water.
I'm sure he loves that one. But anyway, he's doing everything he can to push Pauline's cause. Apparently, according to the Daily Telegraph, he's left a message on the answering machine of the paper's cartoonist. Mm. Here's what it said. I just had a thought for you for tomorrow's cartoon. Thought you might want to do something about Howard and his bully boy gang. It occurred to me you could do a funny cartoon of him and his cohorts, down as another one, dressed in school uniforms and throwing stones and pulling faces at Pauline Hanson. Oh, I think it would put this week's comments in perspective. Now, I haven't got time to come up with any policies, but cartoons, they're swimming in cartoon ideas.
I think he rang Ewa. Wanted him to draw it up for him.
You could have John Howard as Muttley and Downer as Squiddly Diddly. Maybe put the felt pens down.
Exactly.
And start working on, I don't know, a finance plan? Is that too crazy an idea? No. 1 in 4 people are voting for it. Give them something to vote for.
Oh, dear.
Okay, there's a potential prize stick. Have you found anything, Mickey?
Yeah, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Oh, what's he done?
He's begging
now
for it.
What's he done?
He and his wife took 58 bodyguards with them when they went to the movies.
Does he think he is, Pauline Hanson?
It's the one Israel party.
The Prime Minister's office ordered 60 tickets to see the movie Breaking the Waves with the bodyguards occupying several rows in the cinema.
Gee.
Wow, lucky they didn't try and go to the drive-in.
They would have had to go on the bus.
Try and get them all in the boot.
Some of the bodyguards even acted as ushers, taking over the cinema for the duration of the film. I'm going to do that this weekend. I'm going to get 60 people together and march into some kind of cinema and just sit down and relax, get people doing the aisles, everything. That's hilarious.
He's a prize Netanyahu.
He is indeed.
He's a prize dictator or something. I don't know. I can't make that work. Call us up and tell us how you've made a dick of yourself. You don't have to have left a message on a cartoonist's answering machine. You don't have to have taken 57 friends to the cinema. You just have to have done something simple and basic, and we've got, of course, the Lost World prize pack, and you'll be going into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong to attend the premiere of Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park sequel, The Lost World. Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Sorry, I thought we were on the Jetsons there for a second. It's Prize Dicks, as you can probably guess. Here at Martin Malloy, people from all points of the nation who have made dicks of themselves are on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to tell all, introduce the first dick, Mick Malloy.
It's Diane. How are you, Diane?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Can't complain. I'm looking forward to hearing your tale of woe, though. How'd you make a dick of yourself?
Well, mid-last year, I was going to the Social Security office. Mm-hmm. Fun, fun, fun.
Right.
So I went along, thought, gee, the line's pretty long. It was all the way out to the door. Nevertheless, I joined it.
Yep.
And I was looking around going, they're all men. And looked down and realised they were all holding guns and realised it was a gun collection place.
Oh, no!
Or is it just people angry about the lack of jobs in this nation and prepared to do something about it?
Something like that, so I quickly left.
You didn't have a firearm on you?
No, not on me. I had to go back to the car and get it.
Oh, dear. And, of course, you don't want to mess with those blokes when they're queuing up. That's a very sad time for a bloke with a gun when he's queuing up to see it off.
No, they didn't look very impressed.
No, you don't want to get involved in that. That's a very emotional moment.
Indeed.
Okay, down the DSS, and I think we can go dickier than that.
Let's try it.
Let's speak to Russ. Are you there, Russ?
Yes, fellas, I'm here.
Have you made a dick of yourself?
Oh, have I ever. At one time, it comes to mind.
Yeah.
I had this, it's probably not a good day to do it. I mean, it's National, International No Diet Day.
No? Oh, so you've made a dick of yourself today.
No, this is some time ago, but it's not a good day to tell the story because it's contra dieting.
Oh, well, give it to us anyway.
Okay, I was exercising, so I'm out jogging with a fairly new pair of Reebok pumps on.
Yep.
And I'm running down the road, and this little furry rodent comes out. It was a little dog, and it's grabbed hold of the back of the shoes and given them a fair tune-up. So when I finally shaken off, looked down, they're sort of torn to pieces around the hill, and they're only sort of a few months old. So a couple of little old ladies standing at the front of a fence, only sort of a couple of metres away. And I said, if that dog ever comes at me again, I'm going to kick its ass till its nose bleeds. And one of the little old ladies went over and said, it's not my dog. And then I said, I've never seen it before.
Oh, I see. But it's handy to know that you're prepared to do that, sir.
See, bloody right, I was bigger than the dog.
And how busted were the shoes?
Well, they were usable, but, I only went painting them after that.
Right, did you lose one up that rat? Rat on a string, that's what I call those dogs.
You see, got away too quickly.
Oh, well, that's no good. I hate those little yappy dogs.
Do you?
Yeah, and if I was into jogging, I'd hate them even more.
Wow.
Have we got Kerry on the line? You there, Kerry?
I'm here.
Have you made a dick of yourself?
I did.
What happened?
Well, I had a party to go to, so I'm at the party and there's this guy there and he was just really nice. And So I started dancing with him, and there was little tables with, bowls of prawn crackers and chips and stuff everywhere.
Right.
So I'm sort of looking into his eyes, and I stuck my hand down to grab a couple of chips or peanuts or whatever, stuck my hand in the ashtray, and then proceeded to stick about 20 cigarette butts in my mouth.
No. Oh. And did he fall for you on the spot, Kerry?
Well, he didn't kiss me, no.
Wasn't impressed?
Not at all.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Did you try and pass it off like you meant to do it?
Well, embarrassment sort of got the better of me, and I just sort of fell in a big heap on the floor and wanted to crawl into a hole and die, but, no such luck.
Well, that's how it works on prize sticks.
That's it.
Okay. Chomping down on the cigarette butts instead of the cashews. Have we got Jed on the line? Jed?
Oh, g'day, guys. How are you?
Not bad. Have you made a dick yourself?
Oh, certainly, and I haven't lived it down yet.
Right. Tell us all.
Right. I was driving out along for a bit of a country drive with my son and one of his mates, and we came across a sign that said end of season peaches, $2 a bucket.
Yep.
So I pulled the car up and I said, gee, we'll get some of those. And my son says, what, look at them, they're all rotten, what do we want those for? And I said, mate, I said, those galvanised buckets are worth $10 or $20, $10 or $15 on their own.
Okay, so this
he said, I said, stick with me, fellas, I'll show you some things. So I pull up to the side there, and a man and his son came out, and I said, $3, thanks, mate, and I'm winking at the boys, and they came around to the car and sort of said, where do you want them? I said, just put them in the back, mate. So they proceeded to pour three rotten buckets of peaches into the back seat of the car. So,
And what did you do then, Jed?
Oh, just quietly drove away.
You headed off to the nearest Pauline Hanson rally.
Yeah.
That's what you did, didn't you?
I was well-armed, yeah.
With a car full of peaches.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling good about it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's an impressive story there, but
Next time, Jed should get one giant peach called James.
Jed and his giant peach. We've got Jed and the giant peach. We've got Kerry and the cigarette butt munch. We've got Russ with the yappy dog, and of course Diane queuing up to destroy her invisible gun. It's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Eating the butts is good, but filling your car with peaches is slightly better. It's a tough one today. Are you there, Jed?
Oh, thanks, yeah.
You've got the Lost World pack. We'll come around and we'll tip the contents into your car for you. And you've gone into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Attend the premiere of the Lost World if you come out of the barrel Friday week. Thanks for taking part, one and all. And we'll be back to see who's made a dick of themselves tomorrow on Martin Malloy. be a shelter here at Martin Molloy. Really time for us to wind up our special International No Dieting Day edition. That's why Helmut Kohl was out here. He made sure his visit coincided.
Absolutely.
And just before we go, because I know we've got to get that exclusive interview with Pauline Hanson in before we sign off. We played it yesterday, and I know people are keen to hear it again, but there's something we wanted to mention. Oh, is it Beavis and Butthead night?
Beavis and Butthead, 11:30, Channel 10 in most states. You've got to have a look. And, hey, just for a laugh, if you've got time beforehand at 11, tune into the ABC for the Michael Parkinson interviews. Tonight he's speaking to David Niven, but that doesn't really matter. Just check out what he's wearing. You'll automatically feel much better about yourself, people.
It's great, isn't it? Because Michael Parkinson did all these interviews of the 70s, and there's, you know, some great interviews, and he's going, I'll have to play, you know, when I was talking to Orson Welles. But he hasn't stopped to think that it was 1974.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, you can't morph on new clothes.
He looks like a school prefect after. It's a shocking look.
Okay, Beavis and Butthead. And just while we're talking television, what about Daryl Summers' crazy scheme to rename the street in Melbourne, where the Channel 9 studios are in Richmond, where Hey Hey It's Saturday is filmed, Hey Hey It's Saturday Boulevard. He's applying to the council.
Yep.
Is that a good idea?
I don't know.
More streets named after TV programs. You know where I'm living?
Where?
I'm living in Australia's strangest home improvement street. That's where I'm living at the moment.
Good for you.
So I reckon if you're going to do it with one street, you've got to do it with all streets. Mannix Avenue.
Toro's place.
East Street.
Oh, look out.
I don't know. We could go on, but we won't. We've got to get to that interview. Right, so I'll thank our guests, of course, Iwo Takamoto, all our gladiators and prize dicks. We'll be back tomorrow, thanks to Paul thanks to Paul Hester, with our guest Coca-Cola. I don't think that's right. Coca-Cola are making sure that Paul Hester will be out of the shed, buffed up and ready to talk on tomorrow's Martin Molloy. And just before we go, as promised yesterday, Mick had an exclusive interview with Pauline Hanson, and he began by saying, Pauline, are you there? Yes,